Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and banner up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy. Together, let's drive.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call it 664 Seasons.
Drake May is the guy. And if you had any doubt that Drake May is the guy, which you should not have, it has been very clear, what they did was ship a guy who might create a little noise out to Dallas. And the reason I say noise is because Joe Milton's got a huge arm. He has been a fascination of New England reporters and New England fans at training camp. Everyone has seen all the different things he can do, throw the ball 60 yards downfield and all of that. Drake May is the starter. They signed a backup in Josh Dobbs this offseason. Drake May is the starter. Josh Dobbs is a backup, which means if you're looking at Joe Milton, you could say, you know what, we could just get a draft pick from him. It is all in on Drake May. Eliminate any issue before it becomes an issue and just move forward. That is why New England ended up trading Joe Milton to the Cowboys.
Ian Rappaport.
Wow.
Yesterday on the NFL Network, Hour 2, Jones and Keefe were live at the Cask and Flagon. We'll be here till a little past 1 o'clock. Red Sox pregame takes over at that point. First pitch, Red Sox Cardinals here on your flagship station for the Red Sox, WEEI. Stop by, say hello. We're presented today by Coors Light. Choose chill. Rap sheet saying they got rid of a guy who could create some noise.
What kind of noise?
What does that mean?
What does he mean? Does he mean he's going to be a malcontent or he talked about how fans and media like him so much and you don't want the backup quarterback being so popular? You don't want the Michael Bishop. You don't want the
right.
Even Bailey Zappe got to that point a little bit.
How about the owner? You want to talk about noise?
Yeah.
The owner's making plenty of noise.
Oh, yeah.
We have
yeah.
quarterbacks, that whole thing. And so, yeah, I mean, right. Does he mean noise like Milton himself is creating noise? Guys in the locker room are creating noise? Or is he talking about, like, the general conversation around
but, like,
the team?
They don't,
I guess he doesn't specify.
Do they not think Drake May can handle, like, a good backup?
So, I look.
Is that what it is?
Look, Keith, not to pat ourselves on the back.
Well.
But.
Can a little bit.
I think we've been talking about this right the whole time.
I agree.
Where it starts with Drake May.
Yeah.
And then it works its way out from there. I've heard a lot of the discussion in the last day. Plus, I heard some of it with Greg this morning. Where, okay, it's actually Joe Milton is kind of a pain in the ass. And so because he's vocal, now are guys like choosing sides in the locker room.
Which also seems like that came out of nowhere. Did we hear a peep from Joe Milton all last season?
No.
And now all of a sudden, like, oh, we got to get rid of this guy.
So, I mean, look, I think if anybody felt threatened, and like, you know, threatened in quotes, probably by the owner's comment, and maybe just guys are looking at Joe Milton going, guy's pretty good.
That's not bad.
And maybe that's a little threatening to Drake May. I still think it starts that way.
Yeah.
If you have a third stringer squawking a whole bunch, the guy has no leverage, tell him to shut it.
No, but you drafted him in the same year as Drake May. Now, I know it's a different guy drafting, and that's one thing that is very clear. I think it was clear prior to this move that Elliott Wolf has no say over the roster, or very little say. because he just took him. Might be one of the two draft picks that he actually hit, and then Vrabel trades him away just to move up for nothing. For nothing, because it's, everybody's like, well, fifth round pick. They also gave up a seventh round pick.
Right.
The pick swap, so it's really like a sixth almost. It's almost like trading him for what you used to take him last year. So you need a back quarterback, especially with a quarterback in Drake May who got hurt twice in 12 starts. He got hurt twice. So we got to see Josh Dobbs. Like, he's a professional veteran backup. But for the long term, why not just keep Joe Milton for what you got, unless it's got to do with these other things about putting pressure on Drake May, which I never even thought was the case. Joe Milton looked good against a bunch of scrubs that were throwing the game. So I wasn't one of these, like, he's great, he's the next level. But you do need a backup, and maybe he develops into something. He has a much higher ceiling than Josh Dobbs does.
So I think this all along has been our take, and maybe it's been bastardized, and that's fine. I bastardized plenty of other people's takes.
All good.
We've turned into, like, you can't trade Joe Milton people on this show.
We don't even love Joe Milton.
No, I'm fine with trading Joe Milton. I just, if you weren't going to get a day two pick, what was the point? Like, I don't need the fifth rounder. I don't need it. Now, we've heard a few theories subsequently, like, they want as much draft capital as possible this year so you can move up and move from 38 to late first round or whatever. Like, I'll buy some of that. Maybe that's their process.
Maybe.
I would just say, and you pointed this out yesterday, well, then net picks. Why are you throwing in a seventh to go get a fifth? If you really want to move up, then you need as many picks as possible. So I'm not saying you can't trade Joe Milton. You could have traded Joe Milton. I just hate the return.
Yeah.
And I don't buy, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't buy that he was some giant pain in the ass walking around I should be the starter of this team.
Guys, I beat the Bills.
I think Drake May's threatened.
I think it could be. I mean, it could go as extreme as Drake May said something. Or even if he didn't, is it them reading it being like, well, we got to break this up.
Yeah, guys.
Before there's even an issue.
Guys in the locker room are lining up behind Joe Milton.
I don't know. Possible.
That is possible.
It really does knock wind out of the preseason sales.
I like Drake May. It does. I like Drake May. Yeah. I liked him more than most going into the draft. But the guy won a game.
Yeah.
One game. So, like, I wouldn't be surprised if the locker room looks at it and goes, well, we won more games with Jacoby Brissett, who stinks.
Yeah.
We won as many games with Joe Milton. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if some guys in the locker room are looking at it that way.
Another fun theory that I saw yesterday, because we were all over, like, that Drake May angle of it. But if you look at the team, so last year, last game of the season, a must-lose situation.
Yes.
Kraft lets Mayo coach the game, and they do take Drake May out, but they essentially try to win the game, or they at least do the best they can.
Yep.
So they use Joe Milton, a guy who they trade 6 months later. Like, it's not even like you're using him to be like, hey, this is what we have, and then we can do something with. If you just put Brissett out in that game, lose, you have the number one pick in the draft, you never see Joe Milton. And I don't think Dallas saw that one game and was like, now we're cooking.
No, I'll be consistent, though. I thought they had a better chance to win the game with Brissett than Milton before I saw Milton play in that game.
Yeah, but then like, as soon as Milton looks good, get him out.
That's
get him
true.
Out.
Once
sit him down.
Once Milton was out there running around throwing lasers,
get him out.
You can sit him
down. Yeah.
That is true.
He's doing too much.
Breer had a tweet yesterday after we got off the air. Burt Breer. MMQB, he says, one interesting piece of context, because there was a lot of talk yesterday, Jordan Schultz, Mark Daniels, they actually got way better offers, and they were doing Joe Milton a solid.
That's insane.
Breer, one interesting piece of context. While there were talks with other teams,
okay.
In the end, the Cowboys' offer was the only one the Patriots had for quarterback Joe Milton, so they took the bird in hand and moved the 2024 sixth round.
Are you calling Jordan Schultz wrong?
Fifth rounder.
He might show up here.
I think Bert's calling him wrong.
Oh,
I think
okay.
If anybody's going to
better watch out.
Chuck Knox and throw hands. I think that should be Bert and Jordan Schultz. I don't want the
smoke.
Stay
loose, Bert.
I don't want the smoke personally.
Thank God at least. I mean, if they did Milton a favor,
okay,
send him for a worse offer.
I hear you on that, but they only got one real offer and they took it. That makes me hate it even more.
Okay, yeah,
like, that makes me hate it. You got one stinking offer and you're like, great, get rid of him.
You
got
to do it. That's too good to pass up.
Horrendous bit. That underscores to me even more.
Yeah.
You should have waited with him and continued to work with him and waited it out and tried to turn one offer into more offers next offseason. How do you do that? Drake May's going to start. How are you going to do it? Preseason. Maybe he'll get in relief of Drake May, or hell, maybe because Drake May's been injury prone, he actually starts a couple more games, even if they're meaningless, week 17, 18, whatever, and you can up your draft stock. I don't think you're going to do much worse than a fifth-round pick.
So is this like a Mike Vrabel, we don't want real competition for the quarterback decision? Or what is this? This seems like a headache that we can avoid now. Like, I don't know why you'd want to do this and why you're doing it now.
Well, that's a good question. So
couldn't you wait even closer to the draft and then maybe teams prioritize it? Hey, you know what? We're going to take, I don't know, Jalen Milroe, or we're going to take somebody in the third round. Like, yep. We need a backup quarterback this year.
Yeah.
And then they either don't get the guy or whatever. It's also a bad quarterback class. So couldn't you have waited and maybe gotten another offer?
So I think when it comes to that, maybe that underscores what we were talking about before. Get as much capital as you can on draft night so you can manipulate the board. Fine. I like to think, and I actually wasn't the biggest subscriber to this theory, but I like to think, you know, when Garoppolo came in and pushed Brady, if you subscribe to that theory, I just kind of think Brady was really good and was going to be really good no matter what. But if you subscribe to that theory, Garoppolo pushed Brady, you don't need a guy here pushing Drake May?
I think.
Like, isn't there a school of thought that says, well, yeah, this guy's squawking and thinks he should be the starter? That might actually be good for Drake May to come in and compete.
Well, not only that, I would say for a guy like Drake May, because we saw Tom Brady play for so long, we kind of take for granted the health of a quarterback, but they drop like flies. Guys miss games all the time. Wouldn't you want to at least get a whole second season? If Drake May starts wire to wire, you'd be like, I'm less concerned, less need for a backup like that, and if you want to trade that guy for something, but keep him on the roster for a little bit, because who knows? You know, I go back to the most, not the most recent, but the time that a team took two quarterbacks relatively high was Griffin and Cousins.
Yeah.
And Griffin looked amazing first year. Then you get hurt, and then you're like, oh, good thing they had Cousins.
Good
like
thing they did that.
They had him. So, like, you don't know if Drake May is going to be a 17-game-per-year guy yet.
No. I mean, if anything, we've learned you can't count on him being that.
Right.
617-779-7937. I want to get into something Josh McDaniels said yesterday about Stephon Diggs. I also want to get into an item that we found about Diggs and his contract, which makes me feel a lot worse about Diggs starting week one. We'll get into that here on Jones and Keefe live from the Cask and Flag and presented today by Coors Light. John's in Rhode Island on our running back discussion. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. First of all, red or blue?
Ooh. Red Sox opening day.
All right. I'm safe. Hey, guys. Happy opening day for home day. You guys are talking about running backs. I love the fact that you guys are diving into a draft prospect. What you do at four is what you do at four. I can't control it in God's hands. But Quinshon Judkins should be the running back that they target with their second-round pick. He ran a 4.4 40, which is 0.2 seconds faster than Ramondre Stevenson. He weighs 220. Ramondre Stevenson weighs 240. He's like Ramondre Stevenson, but good. Vrabel was good with Derrick Henry and Tannehill. Obviously, May is better than Tannehill. So if you get Quinshon Judkins and May, I think you could really get a rolling offense plus, you know, a tackle or Travis Hunter at four.
Yeah, so look, on Quinshon Judkins, who I think there's a chance goes late first round.
Yep.
I think he's definitely a day two guy. I like him better than Trevion Henderson out of Ohio State because of the frame that he just talked about. And he did – you didn't watch him at Ohio State and go, that guy's a freak athlete, but he tested like a freak athlete at the combine.
So a lot of people are talking about at four you take like Travis Hunter and then you trade back up into the first round and grab a tackle. What if Travis Hunter's off the board, you grab Will Campbell, I know you don't love him, but you grab Will Campbell at four, and then you trade back up in the first round and grab a running back.
Yeah, so that, as much as I like running backs, that might even be too rich for my blood. Like,
so that's
moving up for a running back in the first round, even I don't think I would sign
probably
up.
Probably not. I think I would.
And I might be the most pro running back person there is.
And because I think if you're going to do that, just take Genty at four or trade down to six
Correct.
Or eight and take Genty and then trade back up.
I would rather have Genty at four than Campbell at four and then use more draft picks to move up and get a running back.
Yeah.
So that I wouldn't be a big proponent of moving up into the late first round.
Yeah.
Probably not for a back there. Let's go back to the phones here. Let's go to Tim in Hanover. What's up, Tim?
Hey, Jones, you're 100% right, man. You know what? The thing is, I don't think it was Vrabel that made that call. I think it was Wolf and whoever else in the upper echelon because they don't want to have anyone speculating about this kid being better than May. May played decent during the season, but they were surprised probably to see how good Milton really is. And they made a mistake trading him, a bad mistake, because I'll tell you what, Milton is like a first-round draft pick for Dallas getting with no cost. and then okay, going so forward, they can do whatever else they got to do in the draft.
I don't know if he's the first round draft.
I mean, it's a little much. I can't.
Can I just tell
put
you
any of this on Elliott Wolf?
No,
why would he trade him? He'd be the last guy to trade him. He just took him.
Right, one of the only good draft picks he made.
Right.
It's like honestly, right. A lot of people say Drake May, and this is a bit of revisionist history. So many people wanted to trade the pick. So many people wanted Marvin Harrison or Joe Alt. So like, not everybody would have picked Drake May at three. I would have. But not everybody would have. So I think it's a bit of revisionist history, but fine. You don't want to give him too much credit. Quarterback dropped into his lap. Owner twisted his arm. Fine. I mean, Milton was an actual good draft pick.
Yeah.
So
the owner said they had two quarterbacks.
There's some wild phenomenon where when people say, Jones, you're 100% right,
yeah,
they actually don't agree with me at all. There's,
no.
There's something crazy going on where any – that's like a tell.
Just clip the first part, Nick, and play that back, and then the rest of the
tape. Anytime somebody's like, Jones, I'm so with you, you nailed this. They say something completely the opposite. I don't think it was
great Wolf. Take about Wolf's fault. You're like, I didn't say that. At
I didn't
all.
Say it was Wolf.
Said
at
the
all.
Opposite of that.
So I thought what he was gonna say is it wasn't Vrabel's call. It was Mays. And you know who might actually be running things a lot more than Elliott Wolf?
I don't think so.
Drake May.
I don't think so. I mean, I hope not. He shouldn't yet. I like
not
the idea
yet,
of Drake May,
but established in like 2 or 3 years.
Then hell yeah, go
you
ahead.
Better believe he'll be running the show.
Fine, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But not right now.
No,
he won one game basically as a starter, right?
No.
He's credited for three,
yeah,
but he basically won one
he
game.
He won one real game as a starting quarterback.
Yeah. I'm not making him make roster calls, but I'm also not blaming Wolf for getting rid of his only good pick just so he can get another late pick. I feel like this had to be Vrabel. Maybe McDaniels. Maybe they kind of, you know, because if you look at, like, Mac Hollins, for example, they
yep.
signed him.
Yep.
He has a relationship with Josh. Maybe he was like, yeah, that's fine.
Oh, and,
might
and,
not have been his idea, but he was probably like, yeah, that works.
Mego asked McDaniels yesterday if he has any input on the roster, and he's like, well, I get my opinions on all these guys.
There you go.
Now, I will say this. I tweeted this out yesterday, and people were like, bah, why would you ask Josh McDaniels about Joe Milton? You guys had Josh McDaniels yesterday for 20 minutes. There wasn't one Joe Milton question.
Wild.
Oh, he never coached him. Yeah, no, I get it. He
okay.
was a quarterback on the roster they traded that day.
Yeah.
He got more questions about Marcus Epps, who
oh,
I think
good.
Is like,
Epps
a, questions, like a special
though.
Team
yeah,
safety.
Yeah.
Good question, Bedard. More questions about Marcus Epps.
Marcus Epps?
Than about Joe Milton.
What about Omar Epps?
I'd
ask about him. Real downgrade from Major League 1 to Major League 2.
Yeah.
You should have paid Snipes the money.
Who was the Epps at Kentucky with, like, Antoine Walker? Wasn't there an Epps at
oh,
Kentucky?
Oh, I think there might have been an Epps. Well, with, like, Ron Mercer's team?
Yeah, maybe.
There might have been. No, Omar, most famous Epps by far.
Yeah, Mike.
Mike Epps.
Yeah, Marcus yeah. Epps.
Marcus
top three all-time Epps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Speaking of Josh McDaniels, they did ask him about Stephon Diggs. Here's his answer on Diggs and what he brings to the Patriots.
Steph is a unique individual, unique player, got a really good skill set, been a very productive player for a long time, excited about his addition. My brother had an opportunity to coach him last year in Houston, so I have a little bit of insight into what he's like day to day, and I'm really excited about having him here.
Okay, first of all, any thoughts on that?
Brother.
He's a unique individual, and Josh has probably heard a lot of venting from his brother about how unique Steph
well,
Diggs is.
Well, listen, yeah, the brother angle, because Steph Diggs even brought up McDaniel's brother at his press conference.
Correct.
So there is maybe more of a connection there than I had originally thought, because we were looking at all the different free agent signings, with the exception of Big Milt. I think they all either played for Vrabel,
yeah, Marcus,
Williams,
Marcus
or
Marcus Epps played for McDaniels. yeah, that was a good one, yeah.
Yeah, all those guys did.
Yeah.
But Steph Diggs didn't, so you're like, all right, what's the connection there? He's like, oh, his brother.
McDaniels' brother.
No, but he is a unique individual. We know that. That's fine. It's part of the charm.
Is that a compliment? If somebody goes, how's it working with Jones? And you go, he's a real unique guy. Is that a compliment? That's not a compliment.
I think unique is more – you know what I was thinking? Because I think somebody referred to Casas like this the other day, is when they're like, oh, he's a real, like, thinker. Like a real free thinker.
Oh, yeah, free
That's
thinker.
That's worse. You don't want to be like –
That is worse.
No. Oh, you're real. Yeah, you don't know. What this, real
free thinker means I don't agree with anything this guy
yeah,
said.
Unique
yeah,
unique is kind of in that ballpark.
Yeah,
at least.
If we were going to tear those off, free
but
thinker.
If you told somebody that I was a free thinker,
means this guy is
a real free thinker.
What an a-hole!
Yeah, right. And oh, then, right. That's
and
exactly what it means.
Unique is like a step
close.
Below that. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. He's unique.
Okay. Speaking of Diggs, Florio had good items on his contract yesterday.
It's like less and less money by the day.
I mean,
that's how that thing started.
It was legitimately the easiest thing in the world to predict,
yeah,
but
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like obviously the whole contract's garbage.
He's so, getting $26 million at signing. It's like I don't think
it's not
so.
Even close.
Yeah.
So Florio says, per a source with knowledge of the terms of Diggs' deal, the Patriots have secured broad protection against a setback during Diggs' ongoing rehab, of his torn ACL from the 2024 season.
Yeah, I don't like this.
The contract contains a waiver regarding his right knee. His guarantees expressly do not apply to any football-related injury sustained by a player while performing services under the contract that, in the sole opinion of the club's physician, which shall be final and binding, is in any way related to deterioration, aggravation, or re-injury to the pre-existing injury to the right knee. Basically, anything with the right knee that the Patriots don't like, rip up the contract, they don't owe him a dime. Also, Florio writes, the Patriots have the sole ability to terminate the contract due to the pre-existing injury unless Diggs passes a physical. He hasn't passed a physical.
Well, remember there was the talk they were going to sign Godwin without a physical. Like, they're like, no physicals over here. Did they fire their doctors?
This idea that Diggs is going to be ready week one is nonsense.
I was so hopeful for this.
He hasn't passed a physical.
No. Okay. But he's ahead of schedule.
Well, more from Florio.
the physical scheduled for October.
This means until Diggs passes a physical, the Patriots aren't on the hook for any guaranteed money. $0.
Yeah.
It likewise means that if he re-tears his ACL or has any other aggravation or re-injury in the right knee, they owe him nothing. Then this might be the scariest part.
Okay.
While certain contractual protections exist for pre-existing injuries, they aren't unprecedented. A source with knowledge of broader NFL habits and trends said the Diggs clause is, however, uncommon.
Great.
And then the comp for this. It's similar to language that was used in Jimmy Garoppolo's 2023 contract with the Raiders. You remember that?
Yeah.
Where he
was
like,
was that Josh?
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
That was Josh.
Yeah.
So basically, Garoppolo had a pre-existing foot injury. They were waiting to announce the extension. He couldn't pass a physical. They put all this language in his deal, and he wound up getting hurt.
Nice.
That's the same kind of clause that Diggs has in his deal. That is scary if you're expecting a lot out of him.
Also shows you why Elliot Wolf, Mike Vrabel, and Robert Kraft weren't at Diggs' press conference for a big, like, hey, look at us. Because if they got asked questions about the deal, they would have been like, well, actually, nothing there.
No.
Yeah, I mean, my expectations were pretty high. I was hoping he was going to be...
You think he starts week one based on this now?
Not based on this.
What do you think?
No.
Like, I'm thinking 4 or 5, and I was already thinking 4 or 5.
Like a pup list.
Yeah.
Missed the first 4 games, come back, something like that. Because he got hurt right before Halloween last year. Guys have come back quicker from this injury. Guys have also come back later. Also, what is he going to look like at his age? I mean, I think he's extremely motivated. It also, like, that whole contract kind of confirms what we knew all along. There were no other offers.
Yeah.
Which is another kind of red flag. Like, nobody wanted him.
Nobody wanted him.
You're like, why doesn't Houston want him? Turns out, in my opinion, a lot less to do about the unique personality than it does the injury.
Oh, I think, right? Look, the personality is somewhere on the list, but the injury.
That's always why there was no offer.
Always with Diggs, the injury has been the biggest thing.
Yeah.
And that's purely for this year. Like, I'm sure he'll eventually come back fine.
Yeah, but then what end? I mean, he's already been in the league 11 years.
Right.
And so if year 12, he's basically rehabbing for half of it. Like, what's year 13 going to look like? These receivers, they fall off too.
617-779-7937. It's how you get in touch all day long. Jones and Keith live at the Cask and Flagon. Red Sox opening day. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Patriots, but we'll get back to some baseball. We have Rob Bradford standing by at high noon. He'll join us here at the Cask. We got our week in review, 11:45. And on the way next, it's the Friday 4-pack.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What's in today's Friday four-pack?
Jones and Keefe live, Cask and Flagon, steps away from Fenway Park. We'll be here until Red Sox pregame takes over, 1:10. First pitch, 2:10, Red Sox Cardinals, as we are presented today by Coors Light. Choose chill. If you just heard me sipping from my water there on the air, I expected to be paid in Coors Light.
Coors Light.
That's how I negotiated that into my deal. I said I want to be paid in Coors Light here.
The coldest beer in the world, Jones.
It is indeed. So stop by, say hello again. We'll be here till a little past 1 o'clock. But Billy Lanny back in Brighton. It is time for our Friday four-pack. What do we have for our first of four questions today, Bill?
First one, who would be the best team for the Sox to play in their home opener?
All right, not the Cardinals. Not okay. To poo-poo on today. I'm very excited about today.
You
but
hate,
it should not be a National League Central team to open the season.
The home opener.
So
oh,
I don't.
You left wiggle room for an NL East team? No?
No
NL.
No, well, Braves, natural rival.
Okay.
No, not the Braves or the Phillies.
Okay.
But if it was a National League team, I think that would make a little bit more sense. I think if you want it to be an American League team, it doesn't have to be the Yankees. You don't need to waste it. The Yankee game should be a big game anyway, so you don't want to waste them on opening day. But if it was the Orioles, that'd be better. Or the Blue Jays?
What
much better than the Cardinals?
You see those teams 8,000 times.
Start it up early. Start it up. Home opener.
So
how about the Royals and Bobby Witt?
Okay, so that would be fun.
Okay.
What I was going to say,
Mike Trout before he gets hurt.
Actual visual head shaking over there about opening against the Royals.
Yeah, but he's also standing next to a guy in a Verdugo jersey.
So that is true. You got a question. You got a question there, Tase. Although I like the City Connect. I heard. Greg,
yeah, no. Sharp.
I heard Greg dumping on the City Connect jerseys earlier today. I do like
the white jersey. So much cleaner. That's just a nice looking jersey. Oh, he's got the Devers.
Yeah,
that looks good.
Yeah. Well, again, besides the Devers part. But so
who do you want them to
this
face?
This isn't every
the
year.
The St. Louis Cardinals?
Not. Wouldn't the Dodgers be kind of cool?
What do you mean? National League team?
Mookie Betts.
I understand that, but then eventually he won't be playing for them.
No, so I'm saying, but like right now. Every year, I think my answer would be the Yankees.
It shouldn't be a National League
team. I don't need to see the Orioles and Blue Jays. And
yeah.
I see those teams 8,000 times a year. I don't need to see them.
Yeah.
There's no other American League team I think I care about.
Twins?
Which makes me go to the National League, not the Twins.
All right.
I think I'd want to see the Dodgers. That is like another traditional historic baseball team. And right now with Mookie Betts, that would be top of my list. Betts, Ohtani, who says no to that on opening day here?
Well, right now the Dodgers are sort of a cheat code for baseball.
Like okay.
They're kind of unfair. It's not always like that.
So your answer is officially Royals?
The Royals.
I'm with Verdugo. I don't like
it. You know, my first game as a kid was against the Royals. First game I ever went to Fenway Park, probably like 91.
Ooh.
George Brett and the Royals play. First game ever.
Wow.
That's ingrained in my memory.
I don't know who I saw. I want to say like the Twins.
Well, you tell me. I wasn't there.
I don't know. Me and you might have been at the ballpark for the same game. Historically, and I don't want to have a late entry to brag of the week.
Uh-oh.
I got Ricky Bonas's autograph at a Brewers game.
Same.
Guy apparently.
One-time All-Star Ricky Bonas.
Guy cranked out interviews like you read about.
Yep.
But, yeah, I want to say the Twins, but I actually don't know.
All right, not a bad take.
Okay, what's next, Billy?
How many quarterbacks will be on the Patriots roster next season?
Okay, I feel strongly about this. Three. They're going to
really?
Have. Yeah, they're going to have May.
Okay.
They're going to have Dobbs. They're going to draft a guy. You have to draft a guy now and do the same
with the pick you just got for Billy?
Okay, I'm not telling you it's good business. I don't like the trade, but I want another developmental guy like Milton. Who ideally
they don't want him though. This isn't what do you want. It's how many do you think will be on the team?
They don't want Milton.
Well,
May was threatened by Milton and or
so
Milton
get a guy with like a pea shooter for an arm. Bring him in. A guy who can't do backflips.
I would take a developmental guy every single year. And if he's a six-rounder and he sucks, you cut him next year. I think if he's good, maybe you try to trade him in a year or two.
I think it's two. I think if they wanted three, they had three. Mike Vrabel, I think every year in Tennessee at two.
Is that true?
I'm pretty sure. I looked this up. It was either 5 out of 6 years or 6 out of 6. It's usually Tannehill and, like, Logan Woodside or you know, he had Mariota, obviously, at first, too.
Yeah.
I think he was a two-quarterback guy for a while.
Who was the guy? Willis, right? Malik Willis they had at the tail end in Tennessee,
yeah,
I think.
At the end, yeah. So I think – yeah, because did he have Levis? No. That was a new – that was – oh, maybe he did.
Yeah, I think
he did.
Last year.
But anyway, I think more often than not they had two, and that's sort of what you have now. You have young guy, old guy. Hopefully Drake May starts every game. And then Josh Dobbs for whenever you need him. So my guess is two.
Okay. Put me down for three. What else you got, Billy?
Is Albert Pujols a top five player in the past 25 years?
He might be the top player for the last 25 years.
Pujols?
He might be.
So
700 home runs?
Jeez.
It's a lot of home runs. And he kind of did everything. He made all-star teams.
Played
he
first
won
base.
Gold gloves.
He played for the Angels.
He won World Series. Like, he kind of did everything.
So, all right, if you start at 2000,
yeah,
you still get most of the good Barry Bonds years.
This is true.
So you don't get Barry Bonds Pirates. But
you miss out on 14 years of Barry Bonds or something. His first year was 86.
But I think you still get, like, four MVPs.
True.
Like, something insane.
Yeah.
So I would say, in some order, just to narrow it down, you got to put Shohei Ohtani on there, don't you? Not yet?
I don't know.
I would. I think what he's doing is insane. Mike Trout.
Trout has to be on it.
I would say A-Rod.
So A-Rod has to be on it.
Nobody likes him, but you got to put him on there.
Ortiz?
No. I don't think he's better than Pujols.
No. But is he better than Ohtani? I was talking about who to cross.
Oh. What about – so if you have Bonds, A-Rod, Ohtani, Trout, we're not really putting any pitchers on this list.
No.
That's the other, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
out. I'm out.
Now, Pujols might be. Pujols was ridiculous. Like, if you look at his baseball reference, it's insane.
I think there's a chance he's won.
Maybe. I guess you have to look at how many MVPs he had.
He had three.
Something like that. Oh, he had three?
Yeah.
Oh, so Bonds probably had more in that same time period.
Which is crazy.
Which is nuts. Yeah.
But you're missing so much of his career. Like, when did Bonds retire? 06 or 07? Pujols just retired a couple. You get 20 years of Pujols.
Yeah, you don't like
seven
a 70 home run season?
No, I mean, I do. I absolutely do. And I'm surprised. What do you think his career high in home run? Like, would you have thought he had a 50 home
Pujols?
Run season?
Yeah.
I don't have the numbers in front of me. I was looking them up this morning. I think he topped out at high 40s. He never hit 50.
Barry Bonds won four MVPs in the 2000s in a row.
Barry Bonds is good. I'm not arguing with this. I'm just saying it's you got 6 or 7 years even at a super high level. I think I would lean Pujols out of that. And the reason we're asking is because they're playing the Cardinals today.
Yeah.
Jeter? We didn't mention Jeter.
No, I'm not mentioning him at all.
Jeter's close to a top five player of the last 25 years.
No, he's not.
Yes.
Derek Jeter?
Yeah, Derek Jeter.
You're out of your mind.
Who are you saying?
You're high on drugs and alcohol. I would say Miguel Cabrera.
Oh, so Miggy deserves to be in the
discussion. Miguel Cabrera is really, really
good. Before Jeter. But Jeter's in the discussion.
No, he's not.
3,000 hits.
Okay, him and Biggio can run off into the sunset.
Five World Series.
And Ichiro, then.
No.
Those are your guys.
No. Did you hear the other stat?
Who?
The five World Series? How many did Ichiro?
Well, one of them was not in 2000.
No, that's fair. In his
Derek Jeter won in the 90s.
Yeah,
a couple of them, I think, were in the 90s, weren't they?
Yeah, it's true. How many since 2000? Actually, maybe only two.
Yeah. Well, take them off your list.
That's still two
Get
more
them
than,
out of there.
More than, two more than Biggio and Ichiro combined.
What about Paul Goldschmidt? You don't like him? I'm looking at MVPs.
What about
Ryan Braun?
What about, I'm spitballing here, Verdugo.
Alex Verdugo.
Yeah, maybe Verdugo.
Just
maybe
is he on a major league club right now?
I think he's on the Braves.
Oh, he did. Okay.
I don't know if he's on the big league roster, but I think he's with the Braves.
All right, so I'm not as high on Pujols as Jones is, but I would say top five.
Has to be
in the last 25 years.
Has to be top five.
Yep. All right.
One more, Billy?
Last one. Will the Bruins win another game this season?
No. No, they're not going to. They have what? They're only down to 5 or 6 games left.
Something
as it
like
is.
That.
They're on a 10-game losing streak.
Are you getting tweets from the guy who's like, how come no one's talking about this?
No.
They're close to their longest losing streak of all time. How come no one's talking about it? I'm like, we talk about how the Bruins
There's
suck.
There's kind of other stuff going on right now.
Yeah, and like,
Joe Milton just got traded there, pal.
Bruins suck. We all agree. What's the discussion point?
I don't know.
That guy tweets me every day. He goes, when are you going to talk about
it? No, the discussion is, can they get the number one pick in the draft?
Yeah.
That's where they're at right now. But no, they were hoping to play spoiler last night against Montreal, and that did not happen. They were on another wrong end of it. So they've lost 10 in a row. How many games do they have left? 5, 6?
I'd have to double check. I was pulling up a tweet here from McLaughlin.
Okay.
Scott McLaughlin, WEEI. 10 straight losses for the Bruins, tied for the second longest losing streak in franchise history, 12 straight games of 25 or fewer shots.
Oh, yeah, they don't shoot anymore.
That's tied for the second longest streak since the NHL started recording stats in 59-60.
Wow.
So, like, the losing streak, I do think, is getting discussed. They don't get shots on goal.
I like the idea of somebody in 1959 being like, we should keep track of shots.
You know what we don't keep track of?
Guys, have you noticed any shots?
We should start tracking this.
Can somebody count shots? At
on goal, yeah. Total goal. I mean, Corsi and Fenwick would blow their mind.
All right, so they have played 76 games, so that's 6 games left. Could they end the year on a 16-game losing streak?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Not only can they will. That's an official Jones and Keefe prediction.
Oh, my God.
That we agree on.
Brutal.
617-779-7937. That's the Friday 4-Pack live. From the Cask and Flagon, presented by Coors Light, choose chill. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Brad Foe shortly, actually. Rob Bradford going to join us at high noon live from the Cask. We have the Week in Review coming up next.
It's certainly been a week.
Yeah, why don't you feel him out here, Keith?
Here's some of the best.
Get the chainsaw!
There's a whale at the compound! Get the chainsaw! Get everybody pile in the minivan, chainsaw. We're going!
And worst...
You guys were as bad as the announcers.
It's Jones and Keefe's Week in Review.
The guy sucks! Get him out of here!
On WEEI.
All right, what a week it has been. Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We are at the Cask and Flagon, sneaking up on opening day, or the home opener, I should say, for the Boston Red Sox. Yes. We're at the Cask. It is presented by Coors Light. Choose chill.
It is busy.
Oh, yeah.
It's picking up in here. I see nothing but a sea of Coors out there. Coors. And so that's people getting ready for the game.
It's Sox jerseys.
Yes.
You've been keeping a tally of those Sox jerseys.
Oh, yeah. I got updated. But
some
yes.
good, some bad. But yeah. Jerseys nonetheless.
Verdugo the worst.
Let's start this week in review, Jones, with how we started our week. And that was the end of the Jones and Keefe bracket.
Yes.
We set out to determine the very best sports uniform of all time. And you guys out there kind of ruined it, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, we're getting thumbs downs here from apparently they didn't like the results of the bracket.
No,
like,
no.
You guys did this. We didn't.
So we have a couple of things on this. First, in a little bit of a silent protest, I tried wearing a better jersey on Monday.
Uh-huh.
And much to my chagrin, the jersey, which I wore a month ago fine, suddenly doesn't fit anymore.
Yeah.
Keith, in silent protest, in his Damon Stoudemire uniform, which does pop.
I don't know if... Did the jersey shrink, or have I gotten fat? This is kind of tight now all of a sudden.
Did you have this issue a month ago?
No.
Were you wearing a t-shirt under it before?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, probably.
You weren't just going guns out?
I don't recall. The pipes, I don't think.
Okay.
Now, this is concerning to me. This is a jersey that is a tighter snug.
Yeah.
All it's been is in my trunk since I wore it a month ago.
Oh, the cold.
Too many IPAs?
I'm sure it contracted in the cold. Out in the trunk of your car.
I need a real look in the mirror here. This is not good. This looks like it feels like it's painted on at
it
this
looks,
point. It's tighter.
It looks snugger than I remember.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Filling out the jersey.
I popped on that Reds jersey the day we had those, and that was tighter than I wanted to see it.
Hoss of the Week nominee right here. I thought this had a little bit extra room on it. It has less room.
Yeah. Let's throw Keith in. So it's Newcomb and Keith right now as our Hoss of the Week nominees. That's
nominees.
Not bad. Yeah. No,
it's Monday.
We're not handing out any trophies yet.
Garrett Crochet, update on that, did win Hoss of the Week third time.
Yeah.
First three-time winner.
First three-time winner of the Jones and Keefe Hoss of the Week. We might need to rename the award after him, yeah.
Although, I tell you, it wasn't all bad because I got a message on Instagram, at RichKeefWEI, from a listener.
Awaken 180. Oh.
No.
Okay. Got it.
No. That's probably already in the inbox.
Yeah.
No, they sent me a thing saying they were having a really, really bad day, and then they heard me having a hard time getting into my jersey, and it turned everything around. Had a much better day.
Your misfortune.
Yeah, that happens a lot. That's fine.
Nice.
So I'll take that. So it was at least a small win.
Yeah.
Small win. All right, that was Monday. On Tuesday, we found out who you thought has the best uniform in the history of sports. And maybe the result was surprising, but what happened all around it
Shocking.
Was the most surprising.
This was up to the people. We tried to influence the vote as much as we could. We did not see this coming, though. We have the Hartford Whalers, the official winner of the Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket, coming out of the hockey region, top seed with a bullet.
Yeah.
Out of the hockey region.
Very impressive run.
Many people somehow thought we didn't even include them. Turns out they won the whole thing. They beat out Pat Patriot and the Patriots' red uniforms, 72-28, 71-5 to 28-5.
Whooped him at the end.
Now, last I saw, Keith, this vote was about 1,000 votes less and swung the other way, 70-30. in favor of the Patriots. So
the final 2 hours, the votes more than doubled.
Some sort of hijinks have gone down in the last hour or so in the Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform.
What happened? Ron Francis' family got a hold of this thing?
I don't know.
I don't know. The people of Hartford took over?
I don't know. I'm kind of happy a Boston team didn't win at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I'm kind of happy about
it. A defunct team won.
I don't care that it was a bad actor.
Yeah.
Or a bot farm.
True.
I don't care. I don't care whatever it was.
I would just like to know what it is.
Me too.
I'm not broken up about it. I'm just curious. What happened?
I think this goes down now. This will be a little bit of Jones and Keefe trivia. This will be the first Unsolved Mystery.
Yeah.
The first show Unsolved Mystery. Because we don't know.
We still
it's
don't
not
know.
Like... You know, we talked about before, you know, we had that Philadelphia Eagles writer on, and we were talking about A.J. Brown, and then all of a sudden he gets caught up in this vortex of crazy Eagle fans.
Right.
And then whatever. But like that
trace, you can trace that back to, like, one person on social media who
retweets
amplified it.
And like, bang, 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 bang. This was nothing. This was, like, the normal stuff. Show account put it out. Station account, you and me kind of retweeted it, and then we go from there. And that's how they all went. And it had the most votes out of all of them, and it had a dramatic swing. A dramatic swing at the end. Because this is the other thing with Twitter polls is usually after the first 2 hours, even if the poll is still up for another 22 hours, that result is usually pretty locked in, especially if it's like a 70-30 gap.
Borderline ironclad.
I don't even have a theory as to what happened. It's very bizarre. Like, good congrats to the Hartford Whalers, but very strange.
Well, I'll stand by what I said. I was happy all along. We're like, the Boston teams are just going to win.
Oh, they're rolling.
It's a New England team, but I'm kind of happy with where it finished, I guess. But, yeah, someday we'll get an answer or
maybe we won't.
Maybe we'll never get
that's why they're unsolved mysteries.
It's true. It's like Malcolm Butler getting benched in the Super Bowl. We're never going to know.
Do you remember when Netflix rebooted Unsolved Mysteries?
Yeah.
And so they were so
used to
I watched one.
There was a local one, right? I watched one.
People were up in arms. Like, there's no answer at the end. They're like, right.
Yeah, it's unsolved.
Because Netflix had a series of, like, here's the start, here's the middle, here's the end.
Yeah.
And then they put unsolved. People lost their minds. The guy's still out there?
I got news for you. If you haven't watched Sopranos yet, you're in for quite a ride at the end. Yeah, don't even do it.
Don't do that. All right, Lassie Jones, we have started our draft preview every day around 10:45. We're looking at a new position. Of course, outside of Mock Draft Monday, that's sort of got its own thing
going
on.
Yeah, it's its own day, yeah.
But right off the rip, we're talking wide receivers, and we already have ourselves a good old-fashioned disagreement.
I've said before, I planted my flag on this guy a while ago. I like Luther Burden III out of Missouri, who gets comped to Garrett Wilson here. So that would be my guy, my favorite receiver out of these top five. His numbers dropped off a lot last year at Missouri. The offense fell apart. The year prior, he had 1,200-plus yards when they had a good NFL-caliber offense around him. And I think he's the most explosive after the catch. He's a decent frame. He's not big, to your point, but he's bigger than someone like Matthew Golden. So I think he kind of checks a lot of boxes and is probably the most technical out of the five receivers. Who don't you like, Keith?
Believe it or not, I don't really like Luther Burden. I think Luther Burden.
How
dare
you?
So the drop off is staggering. So I understand guys can have better sophomore years than junior years, and or better, you know, junior years than senior years, as did Drake May, as did Josh Allen. But his production was cut in half. Like, he wasn't the same thing. I also wonder. It's not that I don't like him as much. I just don't want him in the first round, which is where he's going to go.
There you go. And a little gimmicky. He's a little gimmicky.
Yeah, well, Burden.
Burden.
Oh, I thought you meant the disagreement.
You?
No, I thought you meant the disagreement was a little gimmicky.
No.
Inside radio.
Pretty cut and dry.
Yeah, pretty cut and dry. He can be, if he doesn't work out, he's a gadget player, and that's not a full-time receiver. That wouldn't be worth the first round.
Right.
So some good, healthy disagreement there.
Tune in to find out.
In the Jones and Keefe draft preview series. If you're looking for them, they're on the Odyssey app. They're up on YouTube. Subscribe to WEEI. We have already covered wide receiver, offensive line. We did running back earlier today. It'll be a mock draft Monday, and then we'll start getting into tight ends, quarterbacks, etc. next week. 617-779-7937. Jones and Keefe live today at the Cask and Flagon, steps away from Fenway Park. We're going to be joined shortly by Brad Fulton.
Oh, I see him. He's making his way through the sea of people.
Do you see him?
Oh, yeah. He's behind this brick wall right here. He's going to pop out in no time.
You see a flat brim making its way through the crowd?
Sure does.
So we're presented today by Coors Light. Choose chill. And I also want to let you know, if you're at the game today, like many of you are planning on going in, be sure you walk over to the Drake's tent. You try out some Boston Cream Yodels. How were those, Keith? I saw you.
Fantastic. They disappeared.
I saw you taking those down.
Pretty good.
The other day. Or if you're more of a traditionalist, you can grab yourself a Devil Dog. I had one of those the other day. They'll be out there after the game at the Drake's tent at 4 p.m. So keep an eye out, I should say, for that on your way out of Fenway Park. And I do see Brad Foe. He's here. He's going to join us at high noon live from the Cask and Flagon right here on WEEI.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.